How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Last hour, Dave Harrigan, we talked about football. We talked about CTE. Will we look back? And we talked about this. We said, nothing in the country touches the popularity of football. And then we mentioned, like, you know, Taylor Swift, because she more than dipped her toe into politics, and there's no politician that can touch the popularity of the NFL. And then 30 minutes later, the news breaks that a female who honestly may have been the most popular person in America has passed away. You just heard the news from ABC. We got out even a little bit early on Adam just because we wanted to talk about it. Dolly Parton has passed away at the age of 80. Over the years in this country, has she been involved in any real controversy?
None that I can think of.
I can't either. So I would love just a long list of texts. When you think of Dolly Parton, what comes to mind? 651-461-9226. If you have something unique to add, you want to add to that with a call, same thing. 651-461-9226. I jotted some things down, but I'm just going to go first off the top of my head, too. Incredible likability. Like, anytime you saw her interviewed or performed one of her songs, you just want is smiling, laughing, self-deprecating, funny. Somebody would want to have hang out with and have lunch with, have a drink with, go to dinner with, have as your relative. I mean, and it all came off, at least to me, as sincere and genuine. And I'm not exactly Mr. Country here. But she crossed over that a long, long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Jolene. Right? I think of the song Jolene.
I think of my wife's good friend named Jolene, who hates that song.
I bet she does.
Not because it is a bad song. She is well aware it is a great song because everyone she met
always
as a youth. Oh, Jolene, stop it!
Yeah.
Stop it!
I bet. I will always love you. I looked it up. Not once, but twice, was the number one hit on the country music charts.
Wow.
So it had a lot of, that song and Dolly had a lot of success, and then this individual named Whitney Houston came by and said, can I do that? And rocked.
She did that.
The entire world. I stumbled upon, too, last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, TikTok, Instagram, I forget. Whitney's first appearance on Letterman, 1985. Unbelievable, right? Just another absolute superstar. Okay, what else? I think of her on Carson. I think of all the appearances on Johnny when she was so great. How about the movie, 9 to 5?
Exactly, the movie, the song.
Working 9 to 5. I mean, everybody's heard that song, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and is there somebody else? Feels like there's one more person in that movie. A 60-year career. Married to her husband, Carl Dean, for 58 years. Who am I forgetting?
I think that was it. I think that's it. Your big three.
Okay. For some reason, I was trying to add like Goldie Hawn.
Something.
All right. That's a pretty good big three. And obviously, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin did that was the show that it was a Netflix Frankie and something or other. But Dolly acting right there.
Mm-hmm. Grace and Frankie, I think that was.
Okay. The boobs. Right? She's got huge boobs. She made fun of them all the time.
It's John Hines told me a story many years ago.
Yeah.
He was interviewing Dolly, a one-on-one thing. She was in town for a show, or he was CMAs, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And he was caught with a wandering eye.
Yeah.
And she had she had to have this line in the holster for everybody that ever did that.
Yeah.
And it was, takes a lot of money to look this cheap. So good. Oh, don't worry, honey. Takes a lot of money to look this cheap. It's great. And that's the humor and self-deprecation right there.
That's it. And she had fun with it.
Yes.
Right? Hello, I'm Dolly, her first album in 1967. She had 50-plus studio albums that sold more than 160 million copies. She did what might have been her last interview with People magazine last week and talked about her series of health troubles. We have retweeted the video. It's a couple minutes, which Dolly asked her family to put out years and years ago. She said, when I pass away, this is how I want it announced. It is her
nephew.
It's her nephew, Brian Seaver, who worked for decades as her security guard. And before him, his father worked as his security guard.
Wow.
I mean, when you're that famous, how do you tell the world? Right? And so having somebody that close to you to deliver that news, I think is a great way to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Let's pause because the texts are flying in. Dolly Parton, what sad news? 80 years of age. When you think of Dolly, what comes to mind? And until she passed away, as an individual person, was there anyone more popular than her? Kind of crazy that we were talking last hour, honestly, about football. And is there anything more popular? And then 30 minutes later, the person I should have come up with and said, yeah, Dolly might say, hey, put football off to the side. How about me? Because, I mean, 20 years ago, you said Tom Hanks, but then he was tied to all the conspiracy crap, which is zero basis of fact, of course, but utter nonsense. There's no politician that can ever achieve this sort of popularity that she has.
No, absolutely not. No, 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 no.
I mean, is there an actor who's close? Isn't Hanks right now, in theory, our most beloved actor? Is it Meryl Streep? Or she's probably involved in some conspiracy theory too, right? Some crazy.
Everyone's got them.
Some Pizzagate craziness.
I'm reminded when I was doing the show with Corey and Betty White died. It was 2021.
Yes. There you go.
And Betty White passed, and a couple days later, we had the conversation. Okay, Betty White was America's grandmother.
Yeah.
Who is it? And immediately, both of us went to Dolly.
Yeah.
It's got to be Dolly.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Dolly. Everyone wants to go hang at Dolly's house.
Who is now, who if Dolly would have said, okay, my last wish, you are now the rare person in the United States of America where we will argue about a blade of grass. I mean, anything. We can't agree on anything. Who is now the most popular person and your thoughts on Dolly? Should we break the theme and come out with the little Dolly or your choice?
You're right. It is my choice.
Yeah,
and the
I know.
Choice was already made 17 minutes ago. The yes, bump theme is shifting for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
We're dumping overrated Born to Run because nobody wanted that anyway.
Yes, they did.
We're going all Dolly. We got to go Dolly.
We got to go Dolly the rest of the way. Back in moments on CCO.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a great song.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Texture point out, maybe we more properly saying beloved.
That's fair.
That's fair. I get it. You looked it up, and Hanks came up second. I mean, that would be my pick, but it, trust me, the COVID stuff and the fact that the Democrat stuff for some of the crazies has hurt them. Somebody's saying Sally Field, but Sally's just not that visible anymore. Somebody else is saying Carol Burnett. Carol, not that visible anymore. I mean, last time Carol was visible was the brilliant work she did the last few episodes on Better Call Saul, where she was unbelievable.
She was. But, I mean, Dolly was up until recently when the health issues popped up. She was still out there.
Absolutely. Another really good reminder, donated hundreds of millions of dollars to childhood literacy, healthcare, and disaster relief.
There's a sign in front of a home in my neighborhood that said, we got our books from Dolly, or something. It's a link to how you can go get your own free books from the Dolly Parton Library or something like that.
We are so celebrity obsessed in this country. That's a part of the Donald Trump phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
If she ran, she would have won as president, correct?
Oh, my God. President Dolly. How would have loved that. Take on Iran, Dolly. Go get him.
What's the difference with how Iran's faring right now?
She probably would have had more success.
Seriously. We're going to talk gas prices with our guy Patrick DeHaan in about 10 minutes or so. Someone says Oprah.
That's another name that comes up, but... I mean, now even the lefties are mad at Oprah for making Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz part of the national celebrity ranks.
And because she dipped into politics more, for some, among the texts, country is one genre of music I never listened to, but I absolutely love Dolly. Texter, no doubt Taylor Swift is top of the list and will be for many years to come. Highly recommend. I'm just reading all sorts of texts here. Highly recommend the Dolly's America radio docuseries. My daughter and I bonded while listening on a road trip. Dolly would put on jeans and a t-shirt and a ball cap, go to town, and nobody would recognize her. Also seems like she could go to town and fit in, and a lot of people would talk to her because they have such reverence for her that they would just let her be. Couldn't you see that?
I could see that. I could see her saying, you know what, I'm going to go join this group and we're going to chat it up for a little while. That was kind of the charm in her marriage too. She was Dolly. She was, you know, the bright shining light, and her husband wanted no part of any of it.
Dolly in interviews was asked about her wigs. She said she always kept one by the bedside table in hotels just in case of fire because she didn't want to get caught without one. How about the best Little Whorehouse movies with Burt Reynolds? Texter says, hubba hubba. Do we still say hubba hubba?
Apparently we do.
Okay, no problem. Yes. On... Carson, for sure. I loved her dimples when she used to be on Porter Wagner's show. I honestly have no idea who Porter Wagner is.
Do you? Country music singer of back in the day.
Okay. She had three kids and received probably 30 to 40 books from Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. No amount of gratitude is enough. From Here to the Moon and Back is my favorite Dolly song. It's so emotional, and I think of my parents every time I hear it. Just reading all sorts of texts here. Dolly Parton, true icon, lady, God-loving woman, inspirational, true to herself, devoted, so much talent. Genuinely nice person. She had a way of even putting the biggest you-know-what in their place such way it didn't hit them until it was finished. Dabney Coleman, because Dabney was in 9 to 5. He was who they were doing everything to. The news brought tears to my eyes. Gracious is the word, and I can think of many, many more. Trailblazer of women in country and women in music. We don't have the Underwoods, Langley, and anything with Aunt Dolly. That's our friend from our friend Josh. Where we go here? We're getting so many. I appreciate it. No, not Dolly. I thought the same as Betty White. Just so lovable and giving. Ouch. This hurts. Let's get to the top here because they're coming in so much. Again, if you just join us, the news breaking late last hour that an icon, we can use it here, a legend, Dolly Parton, at 80, has passed away.
I was just reading a little about the Imagination Library.
Tell me more.
Created it, and by the way, gives books to children not just here, but also Canada, UK, Ireland, and Australia. And she created it because her own father was illiterate.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that. A couple people tell me about Carol Burnett, prominent two seasons of Palm Royale. I read about that. I completely forgot. That's my fault that she was in it. I think the reviews were pretty darn good. Who else? Can you just look real quick? Who else was in that? I know I was intrigued by it to the point where I thought about it and then didn't start. I have no idea why I didn't start.
Kristen Wiig, Leslie Bibb, Allison Janney in that one.
Yeah. Dolly was the very best. One of her greatest performances when she was on the last show of Johnny Carson. Her song was fantastic. Nope. That was Bette Midler. So she was great on with Johnny. And maybe she was on Late with Johnny, another song. But the last one to sing was Bette Midler. Let's see. Nothing beats Dolly's world best amusement park ever. Dolly, a true Christian in our world of hypocrisy. She was able, Dave, to play with endless audiences, right? Even younger folks who may have known nothing about her country career.
Mm-hmm.
You looked it up. We've both thought of this. 2023 Cowboys. Here come the cheerleaders. And who's out there in the cheerleaders outfit at 77?
Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day, Dolly Parton. her appearances on other talk shows, her likability, it probably is a reminder for all of us. And I retweeted this involving Mike Pence yesterday. And I saw this interview with State of the Union and Dana Bash. Okay. And, the former VP was in Ukraine, Mike Pence. And Dana Bash is interviewing him, including an individual who had transitioned from a male to a female who worked with Mike Pence. And Mike Pence and his Christianity and his spirituality is very well known. And this individual went out of her way to say how decent and kind and respectful Mike Pence was to her. He easily could have acted like Pete Hegseth, who yesterday, when he's talking to troops, used the disgusting term, no trannies. Pete Hegseth's like a fourth grade bully, okay? Mike Pence, who, whether you agree with his politics or not, including if you're completely MAGA and you're still mad at him about January 6th, or You're a Democrat, and you just didn't see eye on a lot of the social issues. But when Mike Pence says to Dana Bash about this individual and a story, he just says, I treat individuals the way I want to be treated myself, or how he and his wife, Karen, would like to be treated. So he treats people in that way.
Golden rule. Imagine that.
Right. And that doesn't stop you from having strong opinions about a policy or about someone who's involved in something where you're allowed to disagree. And as long as it doesn't get to the character part, where Mike Pence, you think Mike Pence religiously might have some differences with individuals who may have transitioned? He may have. But at that office, he just treated this individual like a colleague and like any other individual in the office. And it's not that hard. It just isn't that hard. Unless someone really goes to the bottom of the barrel with their character, you can leave their character out. But a little troll like Pete Hegseth, no trannies. The contrast between those two the last couple days could not have been more illuminating for individuals who probably on political issues probably agree 98% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a way to find commonality more often than almost all of us probably should. And Dolly Parton achieved that as well as anybody who walked the planet.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Patrick DeHaan has joined us a number of times over the years. He is on Twitter at GasBuddyGuy, and with oil and gas prices during normal times, he is the man to go to, let alone when this war continues with Iran. Patrick, always a pleasure. What effect for oil prices, gas, and what you see for the next couple days tied to the president, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, and this economic D-Day on Iran? What are we seeing so far?
Well, not a whole lot, just a bit more noise, at least specifically from this. But it bears monitoring, especially in an area like Minnesota, where most refineries are nearly exclusively fed by Canadian crude oil. We've already seen some rhetoric from the premier in Ontario, Doug Ford. Actually, I don't think he's premier, but he is talking about potentially cutting electricity, cutting critical minerals to the U.S. And so this could escalate. Obviously, oil is one of those things that Canada sends to us significantly, 4 million barrels a day. And if it escalates, there could be a point where, who knows, if Canada would use that Trump card, no pun intended, and cut off the flow of Canadian oil, that would be extraordinarily risky, and it would likely shut down the entire Great Lakes. So there's nothing happening now on that front. Both countries need each other. The U.S. needs Canada's heavy oil. Canada needs to find a buyer in the U.S., but there is risk there.
So is it too simple to say, if you're living here in Minnesota and you're paying attention to as much as you can nationally and internationally while you're living your life, you might pay a little bit more attention to the Canadian tariffs and how serious this might get compared to what's been going on with Iran, because we're now at about 6 months or so into this conflict?
Yeah, I'd probably say there's more risk. There's more potential shock and awe if something were to happen to Canadian oil than the Strait of Hormuz. The Strait of Hormuz is impactful, as is Ukraine continuing to attack Russian oil refineries. But they don't hold the potential explosiveness that impeding the flow of Canadian oil down to the Great Lakes would have. That would be, you know, I don't even want to mention numbers, but if that becomes reality, that would keep me up at night.
That would be pretty draconian from the Canadians, right? I mean, you would think the
yeah.
president would have to match some of his most dramatic hyperbole with action for that to take place.
Yeah, that again, that would be apocalyptic both for Canadians and for Americans. Potentially, I mean, if we're splitting hairs, it would probably be more impactful to Great Lakes states. But to give you some idea, if the flow of Canadian oil is greatly imperiled or stopped temporarily, every airport in the Great Lakes suddenly is going to have an issue with jet fuel, trucks, diesel. You know, the economy is going to grind to a halt. So you can't underestimate here that because we rely so much on Canadian oil, if that flow stops, refineries have nothing to refine, and then boom, there goes gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel.
The president, the defense secretary yesterday continued to say that we control the strait. On Truth Social today, the president said all mines have either been removed or detonated from the strait. When you look at oil pricing, is there anything at all to reflect that that is an accurate statement?
You know, not so much. At least where we are today. No, I mean, you know, there's a lot of complications in the Middle East. And by the way, you know, this whole situation is kind of evolving too. It's becoming less about the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, oil in the mid-80s, it was in the mid-80s back in mid-2024 as well, right? And so it's becoming more about Ukraine attacking Russian oil refineries. And again, I'm not stating my political stance, nor am I trying to, but the reality of it is that these refineries being knocked offline in Russia is having a major impact because you can't build a refinery overnight. If a refinery goes offline because of attacks, how many times have I come on your show and said, well, refinery this or that? Because you can't repair these facilities overnight, and Russia right now is not able to export diesel, and that's why diesel's well above $5 a gallon in most of the country, is in part because Ukraine is attacking refineries.
It's hard to speculate on this, but let's say Ukraine and Russia still is taking place, including with the resilience that Ukraine continues to show, but the Iran war didn't happen. Can you project where we be at with oil and gas prices?
Oh, boy. That's next to impossible. I think the Iran war right now is probably adding somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, call it 15 to 35 cents a gallon. I think more recently, and depending on gasoline or diesel, gasoline is probably 30 to 50 cents a gallon impacted by Ukraine's attacks on Russia, and diesel may be north of a dollar a gallon, specifically just because of Ukraine attacking Russian refineries. So the Strait of Hormuz is kind of shrinking in terms of what's driving or keeping oil, keeping gasoline and diesel so much higher. Oil's elevated, but at $85 a barrel today, like I said, that's the same price we saw summer of 2024.
Yeah.
The big disconnect right now is Ukraine and Russia. And that's why, by the way, refineries are operating at 97%, because refineries are doing extraordinarily well. Because guess what? You can't build one overnight. So the refineries that are online are doing very well, mostly in part because Ukraine is knocking offline other refineries overseas.
Couple last points with Patrick DeHaan, Gas Buddy guy. Follow him on Twitter. Great for us. A texter says, let's go back to the Canada situation, that this tit-for-tat goes even more so it doesn't get to that apocalyptic scenario you talked about. But would Canada ever consider, and could they, and God knows how the president would react, would we ever see states, especially ones close to the Canadian border like Minnesota here, try to negotiate separately just from the United States of America?
I don't think that's possible because of the nature of federal pipelines, the federal hazardous pipeline, essentially, and I'm trying to remember the acronym here, the federal oversight between the Keystone Pipeline is really what governs that pipeline's activity. So, no, you really couldn't have a different go at it. The feds would have control over a pipeline that crosses international borders, such as the Keystone Pipeline that does bring oil down to Minnesota. And really, you know, nothing short of another pipeline. I mean, this is international, so everything there touches the feds' authority.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a way that Minnesota could go around that, because anything that crosses a border instantly, you know, goes to the federal level.
Last thing, outside of what we stated already with Canada, with Russia, Ukraine, with Iran, is there anything else that's coming in the next few weeks that will alter gas prices, which is worth us discussing before I let you go?
Probably won't alter in a great way, but the changeover back to cheaper winter gasoline is right around the corner. And along with it, as schools reopen, Americans start to stay closer to home and get back into the grind. So it's not because the election. Gas prices almost every year fall into October, into November, and
right.
It has everything to do with seasonality.
Great stuff. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick Dahan, that is such a good point, because you go back to different elections, Dave, where it does drop, and if you're a Trump supporter or if you're Trump himself, look at what Joe Biden is doing. He is manipulating the gas prices. Then, when it happens in the next month or so, leading up to the election, when the Republicans are fighting a bit of an uphill battle, much like any party does in an off election, and clearly the president's popularity is in the tank, guess what we're going to hear? Donald Trump's policies have lowered the gas prices.
It's true. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, it is amazing that we can manipulate the same data. It's classic.
Just listen to Patrick. As he's always said, how much influence does a president and the president's general policies have on gas prices?
Not much.
Very little.
Not much.
When you start a war in Iran.
But even then, I thought it was telling when he said, when I asked him, I go, I know it's hard, but let's say there's no Iran war. We still have Ukraine. We still have Canada. 15 to 35%
I was expecting a much bigger number.
I think almost every listener thought a buck.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I just paid $4 a gallon. You're telling me it would have been $3.85, $3.70?
Yeah. And he also just said for oil prices 2 years ago, about the same.
Yeah.
That doesn't, for me, condone the ineptitude of the Iran conflict and the utter nonsense with the tariffs. I'd like us to stand up to China or Russia one time, as opposed to Canada and South Korea. That's funny how I am, but that's not going to happen.
It's nice to know the refineries are doing very well, though. Had the note yesterday, we saw Exxon.
160
pulling
million.
A day.
A day. It's good to be Exxon. Hit the thing. We were going to start the hour with this Target Halloween costume fiasco and insulting costume, but the news broke about Dolly Parton, her passing, so rightfully so. We spent multiple segments on that. We'll bring it back up again with Jamie next hour. Yesterday, we started the show with the silliness of the protest against Target because they weren't strong enough in condemning Operation Metro Search. I didn't hear it. I was working, but it sounds like it was a spirited interview between Jordana and Randy Weingarten, right? Where Jordana was very good in pointing out some of the inconsistencies. So I'd encourage you to podcast the Adam and Jordana show to check that out. And so we both said yesterday, so you have to know, you have to agree with Target on how many issues? 57 issues, or else you're not going to shop at Target? Because they said, we're not going to go. No back-to-school shopping. We're going to cost you billions of dollars. That's ridiculous. Target has helped out with the teachers and schools forever. They put out a statement. And by the way, the two of us were highly, highly, highly critical of Operation Metro Surge. But I don't need to know where every single business stood on it. I don't. Okay? But in this one, Target's got to own its utter incompetence. Because you've seen the costume.
Yeah. Yes, I've seen.
How
call
in
it
the,
a costume.
How does this Halloween costume, which is just racist and insulting, how does this get by one person as opposed to chain of command, person after person after? This isn't me and you and some store in Golden Valley where somebody comes in and explains to us, we go, oh, God, we screwed up. It's bleeping Target.
Yeah. That's
minstrel shows, blackface. What are you thinking?
My first, one of my first thoughts. It doesn't go up to the CEO. I get it. But how many people have to take a look at this year's Halloween costumes that we're going to sell in stores and green light that? How many people look at that and say, yep, that works?
It should be one. And I'm sorry if you're saying we're too sensitive on this. You're tone deaf. You're foolish in this one. The repugnant ways that we use blackface and minstrel shows for a long, long time. And there might have been people that were more greatly accepted into society back in the day who were a part of that, who probably are ashamed now that they were. Okay? We are allowed to evolve. We are allowed to get better. We are allowed to say, I get that. This isn't even evolving. This is just so obvious, such a red flag and saying, nowhere. We're not going to put this out. This is so simple for Target to not be involved in this, and it just adds to the other controversial issues where some of them you could at least argue a little bit. There's no arguing about this at all.
No. There's not an argument from an ethics and racism standpoint. There's no argument from a business standpoint. Even if you're a person that doesn't personally have a problem with it, doesn't understand the racism behind it, you could see why maybe a large part of the country just might. And maybe Target shouldn't do that.
I heard Shaletta, soundbite with Susie yesterday saying Target is just racist. Do I think all of Target is racist? I don't. Do you? Do you want to say right now Target is racist?
No, I'm not going to call a company that employs thousands and thousands and thousands of people racist.
No, I'm not. We love her, but we disagree. She's still ticked off, too, when Target rolled over, when the president won, and DEI became something awful. Again, the words diversity, equity, and inclusion. Oh, no, not that. Now, some companies obviously can take that to a point where, what are you doing? Like, you're missing out on a lot of quality hires who are available to you. We have not reached complete equality in all of our lives yet. And if you think we have, you're living a life that others do not. And I still want the best people to get jobs, but I want everybody to be included in the consideration for the jobs.
Novel idea.
What a novel idea.
Crazy.
That is. And like any aspect of society, there can be extremes. And in our political conversation now, nuance is dead. So it was very easy to just crush DEI, especially if it's an example of somebody who was good at their job and they lost it. And you're like, why did that happen? What about the other folks who only were considered and because of DEI and have flourished? But a lot of people, and there were a lot of businesses who wanted to cozy up the president. Why? Because they didn't want to get him mad.
Mm-hmm.
They watch what happened before. They watch what has happened now. And they want to stay in his good graces. So Target's going to have some further explaining to do and just completely own this one. And probably fire some people, right?
Yes. I mean, it has to be done.
How do people involved in the chain of command last over this one? They should not.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.